very good to see you.
There's nothing to say except it's so good to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, man. I've been thinking about this ever since we had it arranged.
We're here at Bingham High School to celebrate the 100th episode of the Supercast, thanks to everyone who's been listening along the way. And I thought there's no better way to celebrate the 100th episode of the Supercast than to invite Dr. Z, the principal who hired me as a brand new teacher into Jordan School District back in the 1990s. And the way that he did things and the way he led our school and cared about everybody there has really shaped me as an educator, as a teacher, as an administrator, and as a person, and who I wanted to be and what I wanted my legacy to be. So it's a great honor to have you here, Dr. Zylstra. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you.
I haven't seen you for probably, what's it been now, since the reunion?
Since the reunion. We were just talking about that. That was a surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I ran into you in Best Buy or
Costco.
Sam's Club or Costco or something.
Well, I didn't need a winter coat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was Costco, and people had just talked with me about the reunion, and I was a rock star because I brought you.
Oh.
That's what happened, is that I was able to... That was really something.
That was special.
Middle schools don't do reunions. That's the thing that I found remarkable. Nobody says, hey, you know what, 8th grade, I'd really like to relive some of those memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do when you go through 8th grade with Dr. Z, though.
Yeah, well, thank you. It was our pleasure to be there, though. It was a wonderful reunion for those kids.
Yeah, it sure was.
How they grew up and improved their lives. It was great.
The sad thing was going to the field and seeing that there was no building left. I get a little bit sentimental about buildings.
I've been meaning to do that, but I don't know, I got a hard time bringing myself to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of good memories there.
Yeah, a lot of good memories.
Yeah.
We went through some tough stuff, too, at that time.
Yeah, we had 3 boys die in 1 year.
Yeah.
That was some tough stuff. And then the boilers kept breaking down and flooding the gymnasium.
Yeah.
And the cafeteria. And so, but it was... It was good. The community really accepted us, though, I felt up there.
Especially since the pandemic, but just in general, as time goes on, we lose memory of exactly, you know, when things happened and how long.
Some things get better.
Some things get better. It's true. How long were you principal at Bingham Middle School?
I was at Bingham, I think, 5 years, 6 years, and then we went to West Hills. I opened to West Hills. And I was there for 3 years. And then from West Hills, I went to Crescent View.
Yeah.
And I finished my career at Crescent View.
Yeah, I remember you were at Crescent View.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when did you retire?
When I was 62. And 1999?
Wow.
Sometime in there I've been.
Back in the
1900s. 1900s, I was there.
Well, I got to tell you, I have a lot of vivid memories of working for you, and they shaped the way that I do things.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I do a lot of this now as I get older.
Okay.
You told people you love them before telling people you love them was cool.
Mhm. Yeah, I did. It's part of the podcast every morning. You're loved, and we expect you to be great. Education is the most important thing you'll do today.
And you said, we'll see you out there at the end.
Yeah.
And I did a video for teachers this year that ended with, we'll see you out there.
Oh, good.
And every single one of my podcast episodes ends with, education is the most important thing you'll do today. We'll see you out there.
Okay. Good.
And what's interesting to me is that the first time we did this podcast, which this is the 100th episode now, what's interesting to me is the first time we did this podcast, it's not as if I planned out, you know, what would be a good tagline? What should I say at the end? Let me think back. Let me try to come up with something. I was just sitting there at the microphone, and they said, well, you need a tagline. You need to say something at the end of each podcast. And it just, it was right there. So it's been right there at the surface ever since.
Okay.
And just one example of the lasting impact that you've had on me, and that I know you had on the kids at Bingham Middle. Mm-hmm. You told people you love them. There were lots of hugs. There were lots of conversations about how are you doing, but there were also lots of conversations about what you expected of people.
Yeah.
There were hard conversations about how much better you ought to be doing.
Yeah. Well, we went up to that school. It was a tough school when we got there. It looked like an inner city school. It had graffiti all over the lockers and all over the rooms. The tiles were coming off the floor, you remember?
I remember. They drop from the ceiling.
Yeah.
They drop on top of you in class.
And the linoleum floors would be spinning off all the time. Your kids would walk on and they would come off. When it would rain, remember the rainstorms?
Oh, yeah.
Had trash cans all through the hallway.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of great experiences in there. But this idea of having kids telling them that you love them has been something when they've come back to see me as one of the things that they keep bringing up. You told me you loved me.
Yeah.
Do I go off on something here?
Go off.
I was at Crescent View and we were having career day.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were coming into the school to speak at the different classes. I was in the office working on my computer, and as I turned around, I looked and I saw shined boots, like paratrooper boots, blouse pants, obviously military, coming to talk to our kids. And I looked up, and here was this handsome, studly man standing in front of me with a uniform on, and he's had his beret tucked in his collar. And he said, Dr. Z, and I looked up, and he said, you don't remember me. And I said, well, if you tell me your name, I might. And he said, I won't give his name, but Jonathan. And I said, no, you're not the little Jonathan that I would have in my office every day because you were too afraid to go to school, that I would go to class with you. And he said, yes. And I said, well, what did you learn here? And the thing that he came up, he said, every day that I was in your office, you told me you loved me. And the transformation, if you would have said to me, that young man will end up being an Army Ranger when he's 20, I wouldn't have believed you. But it was that social connectedness with that child, letting him shadow me during the day and letting him adjust to the school until by the time he was in the eighth grade, he was able to go to school every day. He had a safe haven with me, and he knew that. And so that was, you know, just a fond memory of telling people you loved him.
So. Well, that blend of love and expectations was just really unique.
Yeah.
And like I said, ahead of its time, because we didn't talk about social-emotional wellness then like we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that was your focus, and it just became infused into the approach that I've at least tried to take as a teacher and as an administrator, because it was just clearly laid out for me by working with you.
Well, you championed the cause. I remember the assemblies that we would have, how the kids would cheer you when you'd come out. You remember dropping out of the ceiling? You were in a harness, came down, and I said, Where is Anthony Godfrey? Where's Mr. Godfrey? And then here he comes. comes him in the middle of the assembly.
Yeah, I do remember that. Again, don't try this at home or at your school. That was, like I said, the 1900s.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore. I loved doing the morning announcements with you. It was really it was really something. I'm sure you remember, you gave me a budget and you said, go down. Go to the music store, get some CDs.
We went together.
Yeah, that's right. We did, actually.
We went together.
And we grabbed a bunch of CDs, and we'd play those. Now you can pre-program music and the passing time and all of that, but we did it old school with the CD
CDs.
And holding up the microphone to the CD speaker just to kick off the day and kick off the announcements.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had some of those recorded.
Oh, they were. And then we had the student of the day, the genius child.
Yeah, genius child. That's right, I forgot about that phrase. You call him the genius child.
We had the genius child of the day. And I had a star cut out for him. And they had a piece of yarn around it, and they wore this big yellow star that said, Genius of the Day.
And you would think that a 14-year-old eighth grader wouldn't want to wear a star around with yarn saying he was or she was the genius of the day.
Yep.
And they loved it. They absolutely loved it.
They really did.
We went through a few candy bars, too, as I recall.
Yes, we would always give candy bars. That's right.
Well,
Artie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
See you.
Good to see you, too.
You're grown up to be a big man now.
Jeremy Velarde, who was a student at the time that Dr. Z and I were at Bingham Middle School and who now works for Jordan School District and has for quite some time, just joined us.
Jeremy was always a good boy. And he had a family that was supportive of the school. And like most of the people in Copperton, they were very supportive of the field, of the school. Yeah, so it was just a pleasure. You guys, so nice to see you again.
Good to see you too. Yeah, for sure.
Jeremy works for the district. You didn't know that, maybe, but
I think I do remember it. I think your dad worked for him too.
Uh-huh.
He worked at the. He was a custodian at Bingham.
When I was getting ready for those assemblies late at night, Jeremy's dad would be working, and he would be the only other person in the building, and he always put on headphones, and so he'd be walking around with headphones on, and I was practicing and. It would not be hard to convince me that building was haunted when you're there at 3 in the morning practicing for an assembly.
Yeah.
Again, don't try this at home. But I was doing a last-minute crunch practicing the chords for the song I was going to play on stage. And you'd be playing the guitar and you'd hear these sounds. And you'd stop playing. Like, what was that? Then you'd start playing again. Then you'd stop. Wait a minute, what was that? And then I went and found Lawrence, Jeremy's dad. And I'm like, how do you do this? He said, that's why I wear headphones, so I don't hear what else is going on in the school while I'm here. And I got out of there, I went home where I belonged, and just, you know, I don't think I stayed there super late again.
That building creaked and moaned.
Yes, it
just
did.
Just creaked and moaned all night long.
Yeah, it had its own personality. Well, I lived in the apartments a few blocks away, and sometimes I'd just stay late and grade papers, and then I'd eat with the custodians.
Yeah.
Some of the things you remember about Bingham Middle, Jeremy, and being there with Dr. Z.
Do you remember so it wasn't a field day, but all the kids walked out of class, went up to the field, and it was like a walkout. I don't know why we did it. We just all planned it, organized it, and instead of you getting upset, you came out and played games with us.
You organized it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
You channeled it, is what you did.
Yeah.
And then we tried it the second year, the year after, and it didn't fly over so well. It was like one and done, you know?
No repeat performances allowed.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
We made big circles, had everybody hold hands, go around in circles.
Yep.
And so they would, you know, we had two or three circles with kids holding hands all the way around. We talked about how important school was, and I had a bullhorn on it, and so we just went with the flow with the kids.
I remember seeing you skateboarding to work when I was in high school waiting for the bus.
Oh,
I see you skateboarding to work from the apartment to Bingham.
That was true simplicity, being able to ride my Cat in the Hat skateboard to work. That was like simpler times for sure. But it was great, and I loved living up there and seeing the kids around the neighborhood that I either had in class or that I knew from class in previous years. And I was single at the time and would just walk downstairs and have a burger at the restaurant that was right next door. I don't know what it is now. The Pit. It was the Pit. That's right. I forgot it. It was called the Pit. You'd eat there and be thirsty for a long time afterward. That was a pretty salty place to eat, but it was nice. That was my little getaway. I'd eat there most nights, actually. Doing that, it was fun to be in the community that I was teaching in.
That was
great.
It was great. And it's such an eyesore now that that building's gone. I mean,
is the building gone?
The building's gone. Yeah.
Oh wow.
And it's just nothing.
Huh.
Oh, not the pit. I'm talking about Bingham Middle.
Oh,
or
yeah.
BMI.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's.
I know. I go out there. I go out there about every year, normally in the fall, and just kind of reminisce and walk around. And I was on that field, walking toward the street, and somebody was riding by on his bike. And I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but he stopped, and he was like, "Are you Mr. Godfrey?" And he had gone to Bingham Middle. He didn't live in the area, but he just rides his bike out by there. Mm. And he was talking about his brother. And I remembered his brother. He had English from me. And he's an attorney for one of the cities in Jordan District. And it was just funny that I'm standing out there on a cold autumn day, just walking around that empty field where the school used to be. And a kid who used to go to school there just rides by on his bike out of nowhere. It's just, it's kind of a legendary place. I like that it's set off. So I don't just drive by it every day. I like that you can just decide when you want to go and visit that.
Open and relax for a minute. One thing I remember going to Bingham Middle, early in the morning, there were always owls hooting. Do you remember that? There were a couple of owls hooting back and forth. If you'd get there early in the morning, those owls would be hooting. And it was really a pleasure to listen to that.
Yeah.
The way to start school.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And I used to take papers to the park. I'd walk over to the park to grade papers. And I would just kind of sit under a tree and grade papers. And there was one tree where there was always the same owl up in that tree. And he just kind of looked down at me, kind of twist his head in the weird way that owls do, and just kind of go, "Okay, go ahead." Yeah. And it was kind of a magical place.
Yeah, it was.
And that middle courtyard, I don't know if I ever went in the middle courtyard very much. But the birds were really loud in that.
We had lots of birds in there. The owls were just a pleasure to hear those hooting back and forth.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was cool.
Good memory.
We were talking about the tiles that fall from the ceiling.
Oh.
That fell from the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
Just randomly. You're just sitting in class. I think a few people used those as yearbooks at the end of the year and had people sign their tile. I'd love to see one of those.
That's hilarious.
The sunken cafeteria, we don't have any of those anymore. Down in the basement there.
Oh, yeah. I remember running down those ramps.
Okay.
Ready to get my Fanta, you know.
That's right. Who were some of the teachers that were there at the time?
Joanne Mattis was the assistant principal.
Yes. Yeah.
Joanne Mattis was there.
She lived just at the house next door.
Right. Mr. Petro, he was the math teacher.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mr. Petro.
Rock climber, wasn't he?
Yes.
Rock climber?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Mrs. Patterson. Do you remember Mrs. Patterson?
Oh, Candy Patterson.
Candy Patterson.
Yeah.
Her son, Andy, recorded my band.
Really?
Andy Patterson, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the recording guy.
Yeah, he and his band, I'm trying to remember the name. I have the signed CD from them. They actually auditioned for Clive Davis at one point. Candy Patterson passed away. And
Jerome? Coach Jerome?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's
Jerome. Oh, yeah. Is he?
Uh-huh.
He worked in the district for a long time.
Yeah, I think he just retired.
Did he?
I think so.
Yeah.
And James Sebaski taught history at the time.
Yeah, he was right across the hall from me.
And on my prep, I would go and grade papers at the back of his class because I liked his class. So I sat back as a teacher and graded and just kind of overheard some of those history discussions. And earlier, Jeremy, we were talking about the announcements. Do you remember what Dr. Z used to say on the announcements?
I do. He would open it with "Good morning, Bingham Middle," and then he'd close it every day with "Education is the most important thing you will do today."
I told you. Everybody remembers.
Yeah.
That's really something. You made the most of the opportunity that you had as a principal to impact lives. Mm-hmm. You really maximized it. You could just feel that you didn't want any moment to pass without making the most of it.
Oh, thank you. I loved it. I was just telling you, I'm still using that tagline. I work with parolees and felons at the Department of Corrections, Region 4 in Provo. And these are guys that have been in prison or many, many years in jail. And so what I'm trying to do is to give them evidence-based information that they can hang their education to. And what is needed for them is to have a behavior change. They've all had therapy for years and years and years. So when they come to class, I give them something that they can hold on to, something that they can use. And right at the top, education is the most important thing you will do today. And then I close it with the same thing. You know, don't waste the miracle that you survived. And then education is the most important thing you'll do today.
Well, we're all using it, it sounds like.
That's good. That's good.
I was hired as superintendent. I told the story of how you hired me into Jordan School District. Why don't you tell that story and let's see if we tell it the same way.
You probably told the better version.
We all get to tell better versions, yes, as time goes, yeah, on, don't we?
It was a job fair at the University of Utah.
Yeah.
And we had people who were looking for jobs, and we needed teachers. I needed an English teacher. And so we were interviewing people, and we had interview sheets, and people had signed up to be interviewed for a job. I had interviewed my people that had signed up for English classes, and I looked over to the side, and you were sitting there looking at me. And I said to you, young man, do you have an appointment? You said, no. And I says, why don't you come on over, and I will interview you. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then I had interviewing questions, and I would ask a question, and you just stared at me. And you kept staring, and I says, you know, a good answer would be this.
Yes, I absolutely remember that. And the question that it was, how do you need to improve? What should you do better? So obviously I wasn't very humble, because at the time I couldn't think of any way that I could improve.
Yeah.
I was perfect, yeah, in, yeah, every way. And you just said, well, a good answer would be to say, I lack experience.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I lack experience, yeah, and the ability to answer a question in an interview.
Yeah, yeah. And I wrote that down, and then I'd ask another question, and you just kind of had that look on your face again. And I said,
now wait, I thought it was just one question.
No, it was more than one. I was coaching. I was coaching here. And I said a good answer would be something like this. And you would say, okay. And you would say it. We got through the interview that way. And I said, you did a great job. I couldn't have done better myself.
Now, okay. Maybe I should have asked this question. The other part I do remember about it is that that was a time where it was really hard to get a job as a teacher,
yeah,
and it was hard to get an interview. And I really wanted to work for Jordan because I knew it was growing. I knew it was big and growing, and I thought there'd be a lot of opportunities. So I went to this job fair, and I ran in. Everybody ran. It was like they were dropping the rope at Disneyland. I ran in to get signed up, and I couldn't get a slot. So I went there trying to look as sad and pathetic as I could, because I didn't actually have a slot.
Yeah.
I went up and talked to you, and you said, well, I have this slot, but it's assigned to somebody. And I said, well, I'm just going to go sit over there in case he doesn't show up. So I sat, and that's why I sat and stared at you,
yeah,
just kind of waiting. And then I swear I can absolutely see you just kind of motion over. All right, come over.
Yeah.
And I sat down, and this guy walked up about 10 minutes later that was supposed to be there for the interview, and just kind of walked away because he realized he was too late.
Yeah.
And I thank you for giving me that first job.
Well, you look good there. You look like a good one, just standing there.
I remember I was late to the second interview, the Bingham Middle School interview, because Bingham Middle was so far out,
yeah,
at the time. But you said, oh, everybody's late, and we just sat down and we, mm-hmm, talked it through, and mm-hmm, fortunately, you took that chance and,
yeah,
hired me. So
that was a great decision on my part. Another one of my good decisions. One of the few.
Would you do me the honor of signing off this podcast?
Jordan School District. This is Dr. Z. Education's the most important thing you will do today. You are loved, and you're expected to be great. We'll see you out there.
Thank you.
My pleasure.